welcome to the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. Thanks for listening to our service today.
Yeah. I invite you to open up your copy of the Word of God with me today to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Last Sunday was the last sermon in our series from the Gospel of John, and today we're going to jump into the Gospel of Luke. We're currently walking through passages of Scripture that involve those who Jesus encountered. Encountering Jesus is the name of our sermon series. Those whose lives were never the same as a result. Last Sunday morning we were in John chapter 11, And we looked at the death of Lazarus. We saw three people in that passage that Jesus interacted with: Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And God's word records that Lazarus became sick, and he died long before Jesus ever arrived. Lazarus was prepared. He was placed in a tomb for burial. 4 days went by, and Jesus finally arrived. But Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead. This encounter would not only change the life of Mary, Martha, and the dead man Lazarus, but for many of the Jews who saw this take place. We looked at three questions as we began last Sunday morning that Mary and Martha would have been pondering. Those questions were: why the sickness? Number two, where is Jesus? Number three, why did Lazarus die? We then moved on and looked at four truths about encountering Jesus from that passage. Number one was we have a Savior who can handle our honesty. Both Mary and Martha both asked Jesus, "You knew he was sick, where were you?" And obviously they were upset that Lazarus had passed away. Number two, we have a Savior who deserves our commitment. And we saw from that passage Martha's statements to the Lord and how that is seen. We looked at number three, that we have a Savior who is moved by our sorrows. It says that even Jesus wept over the body of Lazarus. We have a Savior who can sympathize with us. And number four, we have a Savior who has demonstrated his ability and that he raised Lazarus from the dead. Scripture says, and many of the Jews believed after having seen it. When anyone sees that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, he is challenged to do something about it. He cannot regard it as a curious piece of knowledge to be put away safely in some file of comparative religion. We close with this reminder: may God help us to understand that the resurrection and the life found in Jesus, it challenges us not only to believe, but also to act. You should be in Luke chapter 5 by now. Would you look with me this morning at verses 12 through 16? I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Would you join me in standing this morning if you're able, as we publicly read the Word of God? I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 5 in verse number 12 and read down through verse 16. You follow along in your copy as I read. And it happened when he was in a certain part of the city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then he put out his hand and he touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. You may be seated. This passage this morning is about a man who had a terrible disease: leprosy. But the greatest problem that this man had was not his leprosy, it was his spiritual need to be healed from sin. And so with that, this morning as we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, would you help us now as we open up the Word of God and as we study your Word. Father, would you give us eyes of understanding that only the Holy Spirit can help us to see. Father, if there be someone here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they've never had that life-changing decision, they've never chosen to accept what Christ did on the cross for them, as he took their sin and as he completed what was necessary for the requirements of God, so that they could be free of that sin and have a home of eternity. Father, if that person be here today, would you help them to make that decision? Father, for each of us as believers, as we study the Word of God, help us to see once again another glimpse into the person of Jesus Christ. And Father, how it is that we as believers can follow the example of our Savior in loving the people in the world that is around us. Father, hide your servant behind the cross this morning. Give me the words that you would have me to say. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The man with leprosy. We have a great physician, do we not? Scripture says we have a great physician who heals the sick. This passage this morning is all about a man who was considered untouchable because he had leprosy. I don't know about you. There are certain things I don't like to touch. Maybe you're the same way. Right at the top of that list are dirty diapers. That is one of those things that I just know, it's an untouchable. And yet now, having three kids, I find myself changing diapers way more often than I did when it was one. I've learned to touch the untouchable whether I like it or not. There's other things that you don't like to touch, especially don't like to eat. I remember as a kid, I despised sauerkraut. It was an untouchable thing. Liver is one of those things as well. It's an untouchable. You should not eat it. but an untouchable, something that needs to be kept out of reach, out of sight, out of mind. People that had leprosy in the New Testament times, they were considered untouchable because of that leprosy. However, we don't have to be miracle workers like Jesus this morning to touch the untouchable. There are people today in our society that are untouchables. No, they don't have leprosy, but they're people that are untouched, they're unreached, they're unwanting to be touched because nobody cares. They're isolated. Let me ask you this morning some questions as we jump into this. Are you willing to touch those that others have written off? Are you willing to be used by God to touch somebody's life that everybody else in the world would write off? Question number two. Are you ready to love the unlovable, to welcome the unacceptable, and to forgive the unforgivable? Jesus was. Jesus did the unthinkable. He touched the untouchable. He loved the unlovable. And so as you jump into this passage this morning, you look at Jesus cleansing the leper. I need to give you an understanding. What is leprosy? We don't have it in our world today. We don't see it in America. We don't know what it is. We have an idea. Leprosy was one of the most dreaded diseases because it caused not only a physical affliction, but even more than that, it was psychological and it was mental as well. Lepers in Jesus' time were shamed. They were despised. They were treated as untouchable. Their physical condition was terrible. They would slowly begin to lose their limbs and they would wither away physically. They were not only shunned, but they were regarded by some as already dead. Think about that for just a moment. People in that society, if you had leprosy, even though you may have been living, they considered you to be dead already. What a society to live in. They were shunned by their relatives. In fact, another family would come and bring him food every day, but they couldn't get close. They would leave it at a certain place on a rock, and when they would withdraw from that place, then the leper would come and he would gather it and he would eat it. There was no physical interaction between somebody that was clean and someone that had leprosy. This way he would watch from a distance as his children grew up, yet never able to touch them. He would watch his wife cry as she left the food and would walk away, never to be able to comfort her. And after several years of this, he would start wishing that they wouldn't come anymore. It wasn't that he didn't want to see them. It was just that he lost an ear already and several of his fingers and his toes. His face would become horribly disfigured. His hair would fall out. According to the Jewish law, he would wear rags for clothes. His hair was to be uncovered and it would be a mess and his face would be covered with a cloth. The Jewish law forbade anyone from touching or approaching a leper lest ritual defilement occur. Yet the leper that you read about in this passage did something that's quite remarkable. He approached Jesus confidently and humbly, expecting that Jesus could and would heal him. Normally a leper would be stoned or at least warded off if he tried to come near a rabbi. Yet Jesus not only grants the man his request, but he demonstrates personal love to him in this passage, compassion, tenderness of God, and what we call physical touch. And so this morning I want to walk through this passage. I want to share with you the beauty of what the word of the Lord tells us. Leprosy is a vivid and a graphic physical picture of the spiritual defilement of sin. Sin, it defiles, Scripture says, the entire body. It didn't matter for a leper if he had leprosy on his hands, his face, or his feet. If he had leprosy, his whole body was defiled. He would be cast down into a leper colony. Sin is an ugly thing. It's a loathsome thing. It's incurable. It's contaminating. It's what separates us from God and from the world in which we live. We're not holy, but yet God is, but our sin separates us. We become outcasts. Stop and think about this for a moment today. If you were found to have leprosy today and you could never see your family again, would it hurt you? Just a little bit? Oftentimes, these people that had leprosy, they would find out, and sometimes rather quickly, they would be immediately taken to a leper colony with people that were far sicker than they were. And they would watch in horror as the years, as the months, as the days went by, as people around them died, as they physically began to fall apart. Sin has a way of ruining our lives, but Jesus Christ heals us from that sin. And what I want to show you today is how Jesus Christ heals this leper. You have there five stages of Jesus healing the leper. Number one is this, the request. Five stages of Jesus healing the leper. Number one is the request and his concern. Look at verse number 12. And it happened when he was in a certain city that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The language in the original language, this would be Greek, suggests that this stage of leprosy that this man has is very great. It's very severe. In our modern day and age, it would be like a stage 3 or 4 of something. Very advanced. Very serious. It's in the final stages, so to speak, of the disfigurement of this man's body. And he comes to Jesus. And what I find remarkable is this. Usually with leprosy, you lose your toes, you lose your fingers. This man comes to Jesus as deformed as he is. Somehow he made his way to Jesus. Many times people that were lepers would lose their big toe and consequently balance would be very hard. Standing would be almost impossible. Somehow this man makes his way to Jesus and he asks Jesus this request. In verse number 12, he says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now notice the place. It says in verse 12, when he was in a certain city. Go back to verse chapter 4 and verse 43. Jesus is preaching in verse 42, it says of chapter 4. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd saw him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. And he said to them, I must go to preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Because for this purpose I have been sent. Jesus says, I need to go to one of these towns. Perhaps this was on the outskirts of town. We don't know. The point is, somehow this leper was in reach with Jesus. Usually lepers were not allowed inside the city gates. So somehow as Jesus traveled in between cities, maybe it was on the outside of a city, this leper approaches Jesus. And you read about the predicament. Look at the rest of the verse, verse number 12. A man full of leprosy saw Jesus. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I don't get the idea that he was just struggling with his left or his right hand or his left or right foot. It's the idea that leprosy was consuming his body. His whole entire body. It speaks of the progression of it. William Barclay speaks of the progression of leprosy. He would say it this way. It might begin with little nodules that begin to go on and ulcerate. The ulcers develop a foul discharge. The eyebrows fall out. The eyes become staring. The vocal cords become ulcerated. The voice becomes hoarse. The breath wheezes. The hands and feet, they always ulcerate. Slowly the sufferer becomes a massive growth of these ulcers. The average course of that kind of leprosy is 9 years, and it ends in mental decay, coma, and ultimately death. Leprosy might begin with the loss of all sensation in some part of the body. The nerve trunks are affected, the muscles waste away, the tendons contract until the hands are like claws. There follows ulceration of the hands and feet. Then comes the progressive loss of fingers and toes until the end of a whole hand or a whole foot may someday just drop off. The duration of that kind of leprosy is anything from 20 to 30 years. Let that sink in for just a moment. If this man was in the condition that Scripture lends us to believe, 20 to 30 years, he's been apart from his family, he's struggled with leprosy. 20 to 30 years. Full of leprosy. It's a terrible progressive death, which you don't die quickly. You die daily, inch by inch by inch. Can you imagine what that man went through? Notice number 3, the penitence. This man comes to Jesus, and it says that he fell on his face and he implored him. And the way that this says, the posture of this man is an expression of reverence and respect. This man knew, even by coming to Jesus, if Jesus wasn't willing to heal him, he'd be dead anyway. He comes to Jesus, he bows down, and it's showing reverence for who Jesus is, if you're willing, Lord. Because if you're not, I know where I'm going to go. According to the Jewish law, if a leper was to approach someone of religious stature, that leper would immediately be stoned. This man risks everything to come to Jesus. He bows down out of respect, out of humility, and he makes this request. Number four is the plea. He says, Lord, you can make me clean. Note the faith of such a request. This man had heard about Jesus at some point, at some time. He'd heard about what Jesus could do. And it's not, and he's coming and he's saying, Lord, if somehow you're able to do this, he says, Lord, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. I know that you can do this. The leper did not doubt Jesus' competence to heal, yet he was uncertain of the attitude with which Jesus would have toward him. No group was more pitiful than lepers. A disease that was this slow, a lingering death, death inch by inch, and to make matters worse, they're cut off from all contact with the rest of their society, including their families. And in desperation, he begs Jesus, if you're willing, if you don't despise me like everyone else around me, if you're not going to cast me off, if you're not afraid to lay hands on me, to make me like everyone else, I know you can make me clean. Can you hear the agony in the leper's voice as he makes this statement, this question? You can hear the mental and the emotional anguish of 20 to 30 years of dealing with this every single day. He was sick of being treated like garbage. He was sick of being rejected and despised. One commentator said it this way, nothing was worse, nothing, but a corpse was more unclean than a leper. Nothing. Nothing but a corpse was more unclean than a leper. So the most nastiest, dirtiest thing you could possibly think of was a leper. I don't know what the equivalent today would be in our society. Maybe a public restroom. Dirty, nasty. But in their society, the dirtiest thing next to a dead body was a leper. No one wanted to be near them. Nobody wanted to touch them. Look at the response, number two. The response. How Jesus responds. Look at verse 13. I read the verses here, and verse 13 always jumps out at me. Look at the beginning of verse 13. Then he put out his hand, and he touched him. Here's the thing I want you to understand. That's a no-no. In Jewish society, you were not to touch a leper. And before Jesus even says anything, he puts out his hand. Folks, can I tell you something today? If you're living in sin and you think nobody cares about you, nobody loves you, let me tell you this today. Jesus Christ has extended his hands, both of them, to you. He offers you salvation. He offers you the cure to your sin problem, just like he offered the leper the hand here to save him from this physical problem. He has leprosy. Jesus offers his hand. And look at this. Look at this. Look at verse 13. He touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. I'm willing, be cleansed. Since this was a disease that was considered incurable, a sudden healing may have been a surprise to the man and to all who knew him. Yet Jesus dared to touch the leper and to speak the authoritative word that caused him to be cured. The acknowledgement. He put out his hand. The acknowledgement. Instantly the response came, as had the sufferer's prayer. Jesus was probably the first non-leper to ever do this with this man. To touch a leper was dangerous medically, defiling religiously, and degrading socially. But the Savior contracted no defilement. He took on no illness. Instead, there surged in the body of the leper a cascade of healing and health. In the acceptance, he touched him. The healing power did not originate in his fingers or his garment. It came straight from the divine and human Jesus, from his ultimate will and infinitely sympathetic heart. Jesus loved this man. There was a healing power in that touch. To touch a leper would make the person ceremonial and clean. Barclay states that also in Palestine in the time of Jesus, the leper was barred from Jerusalem. He couldn't go into a walled town. In the synagogue, there was provided for him a little isolated chamber, 10 foot high, 6 foot wide. The law enumerated 61 different contracts which could defile, and the defilement involved in contact with a leper was only second to the defilement involved in contact with a dead body. If a leper so much as put his head into a house, that house became unclean, even to the beams of the roof, the rafters. In an open space, it was illegal to greet a leper. No one might come nearer to a leper than 4 cubits, which is 6 foot. If the wind was blowing towards a person from a leper, the leper had to be at least 100 cubits away, 150 feet away. One rabbi would not even eat an egg that was bought in the street while a leper would pass by. Another rabbi actually boasted that he flung stones at lepers on the street to keep them from coming anywhere near him. Other rabbis hid themselves. They took to their heels. They ran at the sight of a leper, even when they were a distance away. There never has been any disease which has so separated a man from his fellow men as leprosy did. And yet this was the man whom Jesus touched. To a Jew, there would be no more amazing sentence in the entire New Testament than this simple statement that you read in verse 13. And Jesus put out his hand and he touched him. To a Jew, that would leave them speechless. Jesus didn't just speak this man into healing. He touched this man for a reason. He gave us an example to follow. He gave us something here that I want you to take away. Number 3, notice the assertion. The man says, Jesus says, I am willing to be cleansed. This word, not the friendly touch, brought the change to the man. The touch to the leper meant that you could no longer enter the temple to worship. You were ceremonially unclean. Jewish people were not even allowed to breathe the same air as a leper, and that is why lepers had to cover the bottoms of their faces. Everywhere they went, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine going to the store today and crying out as you walk through Walmart, unclean, unclean, and seeing what people would do? But everywhere you went, as a leper, you would have to announce your presence as an unclean person. And everywhere this man went, he'd have to announce, unclean, unclean. Doesn't tell us in Scripture, but I get the idea. As he came near Jesus, he said, unclean, unclean, and people began to scatter. And Jesus is the only one that doesn't flee. And the man walks right up to Jesus. And he says to him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Notice number 3, the release, the cleansing. Look at the end of verse 13. Immediately the leprosy left him. The release, his cleansing. The release, his cleansing. Immediately it left him. This wasn't a gradual healing process. It wasn't something Jesus said, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. It wasn't something Jesus said, after 6 months you'll be healed. There's no need for treatment. The Scripture says it took place immediately. Right away, this man is healed. No more leprosy. Now imagine, 20, 30 years, you've been fighting this. You've watched your body fall apart, and all of a sudden, you're healed. It leads us to ask some questions. Number 1, how many fingers had this guy lost that magically just all of a sudden appeared? Number 2, how many feet, toes? Had he lost his ears? Was his face deformed? What happened? As I said, leprosy deforms the body. It disfigures you. Did his figure all of a sudden come back? Scripture doesn't tell us. It just says immediately the leprosy left him. Here's the thing I want to bring out today for you. Jesus Christ, when he promises to save you from your sin, aren't you glad it's an immediate thing? And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here, right now, today, this moment. This man, if Jesus had said, well, you're going to have to wait a while, the man would have known Jesus really didn't care. Jesus healed him instantly. He heals this man. Notice the suddenness. The scripture says immediately. It heightens the miracle and it emphasizes the power of Jesus. The leper's need and faith found an immediate response in the Savior's eagerness to help. And in this readiness, his power and his love embraced each other. The healing is sudden. It's immediate. When you go to the doctor and you have an illness or a disease, and the doctor comes back in and says, you've been healed, aren't you glad? I have no doubt when Jesus said, be healed, and this man was, no doubt that smile couldn't be wiped off his face for anything. The man understood much more. Notice, it says the leprosy left him. I have quite a few friends that I have walked through and I have watched struggle with cancer of all kinds. One of my best friends, when I was in Bible college, she's still a very good friend of mine. I watched her go through cancer. In fact, back then, I actually drove her to her cancer treatments and back home. There is nothing sadder and harder than watching someone go through that process and knowing there's nothing you can do for them. But you know what I'm thankful by the grace of God to tell you today? Is that she is cancer free. That God saw fit to heal her. That God's gone exceedingly and abundantly above that. But here's the thing. There is no cancer in her today, just as there's no leprosy in this man that you read about. It's gone. It's forever gone. Notice the scripture. The leprosy left him. Think of what it meant to be hopeless one moment. To be helpless one moment. And in one just split second, everything in your life changes. Doesn't that sound a lot like what it is when you come to Jesus Christ? At one moment, everything's helpless, everything's hopeless. The moment you meet Jesus, everything changes. Nothing is ever the same. For this man, it meant all kinds of things. And no doubt as he looked and he saw his hands and his feet and he realized he'd been healed, his wife, his kids, his friends, his family, his acquaintances went through his mind and he knew something. I'm no longer going to have to go back to the leper colony because I've been healed. The disease was gone. Number four, the requirement. Look at his command. Number four, the requirement and his command. Jesus says to this man, in verse 14, he charged him to tell no one. Well, why? Look at verse 14. He said, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Jesus gives him one instruction. Go and see the priest immediately. Now, I don't know about you, but if you struggled with the disease for 20, for 30 years, that would be an awful hard thing, wouldn't it? But Jesus, you don't understand. I don't really love the priest, but boy, do I love my family. Why did Jesus tell him to tell no one? If you read the passage that we read earlier in chapter 4, the multitude, which you read at the end of these verses, whenever the word got out that Jesus had healed someone, a multitude would come, and Scripture says that Jesus had to oftentimes withdraw. He had to go to the wilderness and to pray. Because the multitude would come, and there were so many people. But the other reason why he tells this man to go and to show the priest, the law provided that cases of leprosy had to be inspected by the priest. They were the one that would confirm that you had leprosy, and should by some miraculous thing, you not have it anymore. You had to be declared clean by the priest. But you know what's amazing? You study the scriptures and you don't find any recorded instance of anyone ever coming before the priest that had leprosy that had been healed until this man. I don't know if the same priest was there at the time when he was declared full of or declared to have leprosy as when he came back and said, "I'm clean." But can you imagine? You walk in and you see the same, and we'll use the example, the same pastor that declared, or same doctor that declared, "Hey, you have this problem." You walk back in, "Hey, guess what? I've been healed." No doubt the man knew what you looked like in your condition before Jesus healed you. Think about that for just a moment. This man has been healed. He goes before, if I can say it, the Board of Health to get a clean bill. The only one to declare you free of that would be the priest. So he does this. Lepers were outcasts. They were unclean. They were untouchable. Jesus heals this man. But notice what he tells him, the silence. He charged him to tell no one. And that's the opposite of what you might say, but notice some things. To prevent premature identification as the Messiah, number one, as the coming Messiah, he would become a religious threat to establish Judaism and a political threat to Roman rulers. That's one of the reasons why Jesus said, "Tell no one." And number two, to prevent being mobbed. Jesus' reputation as a healer would bring crowds. We don't have time to go there. Mark 1 and verse 45 talks about that. And it tells us that the leper did not keep silent. But before you get mad at the leper, could you keep silent if you've been healed of a terrible disease either? Imagine how fast the word got around. If you've been healed miraculously like this, would ABC News, would Fox News show up at your house to do a television report about this man? Would every local paper in the entire nation of Israel be there talking to you? "Hey, we heard you got cured." The word got around. But notice the submission. Jesus says, "Go and show yourself to the priest to present for consideration." The priest could not heal. All they did was pronounce a man healed. The priests were the only one that could legally readmit into the community those that had contracted leprosy. Jesus tells him, "You've been healed. Now follow the procedure. Go and have them okay you to go back into society." But he tells him at the end of verse 14 to make an offering for your cleansing. Luke, when he writes, he relates the very specific rituals through which a man was required to go to be brought back into the worship of the temple. Jesus tells him to do this. He says, one, he says, go show yourself to the priest. Become readmitted into society. Have them put their stamp of approval. But then he says this, you have to offer an offering to be readmitted back into temple worship. And so that's what the man had to do. Number five, the report. Notice verses 15 and 16. The report went around and around and around. I wonder today, if their word got around as fast as our Facebook, as our Twitter, as our social media does today. Can you imagine? The news feed on this man's... just think about it. How fast it would have blown up. Somebody loses like the Nebraska Cornhuskers did yesterday, and the news feed just explodes. But imagine this man. Just everybody talking about him. Did you hear about this guy? Did you hear what Jesus did? It spread anyway. Great multitudes, it says, came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The great crowds come. But it says in verse 16 that Jesus often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. Luke portrays Jesus as the Son of Man, a man of prayer. How fitting it is that it says more about his prayer life than any of the other Gospels. Jesus withdrew and prayed.
We hope you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. If you'd like to join us for our Sunday services,
We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m.